Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On BlogTalkRadio.com.
Oh no! I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great price.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. BIRKETT Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Now, back with more.
Are you ready? More
of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Welcome, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Thank you, Jay-Z, for fouling up the traffic going through Newark. Today, I believe that Jay-Z is going to be at the Prudential Center tonight. I heard he's been there three nights in a row, and I'm passing through there trying to get to the studio, and guess what happened? I ran into a traffic jam full of Hummer limousines and you name it. So I was on the phone with somebody, and they told me that Jay-Z is at Prudential Center. So thank you, Jay-Z, for fouling up my show today where 20 minutes has already passed. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much. It's the Ron Kelly Show, which right here on blogtalkradio.com and WWP on 1490 AM. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining me. If you're still out there, I know some of you probably left the building thinking, like, Ron's not going to be here. But you know how I do. You know, I love radio. This is what I do. And even if it's only 5 minutes left, well, that's not true. But there's still enough time left to shout out to my people. Yours truly, Ron Kelly, back in the air chair. Thank you, everyone, for indulging the Ron Kelly Show. It's the official website of the Ron Kelly Show is www.TheRonKellyShow.com, where you can go over there, you can poke around, you can learn a lot about me if you choose to, and you can purchase merchandise as well. So thank you, everyone, for logging into the official website at Ron Kelly Show. It's www.TheRonKellyShow.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at The Ron Kelly Show. The Facebook page is The Ron Kelly Show. And on iTunes, you can check the show out, The Ron Kelly Show on iTunes. You just have to sign up for the podcast. It doesn't cost anything to sign up for the podcast. You can listen to The Ron Kelly Show on Twitter. I'm sorry, on iTunes and on Stitcher as well, on Stitcher Radio, Stitcher.com. You can also check out The Ron Kelly Show archives as well as on blogtalkradio.com/The Ron Kelly Show. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate Yo, Georgia, shout out to my homeboy, Lamont Gates, the unflappable one, Lamont Gates, who co-hosts with me. I can't really call Lamont a co-host. I don't know what to call him, but I can't call him a co-host. He hosts his own show. He has hosted his own show, Real Social Talk, right here on Blog Talk Radio. So check me out Wednesday nights, 8 p.m., with the unflappable one. Goes by the name of Lamont Gates. Yours truly, Ron Kelly. It's Real Talk Live with Ron Kelly and Lamont Gates. 8 o'clock right here at www.blogtalkradio.com/Real Talk Live with Ron Kelly and Lamont Gates. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Got a lot going on. I don't know if I can squeeze it all into the last 35 minutes or so we have for the show, but I'll do my mighty best to enlighten, inform, and enrage people out there sometimes. Thank you too much for the 4,300 almost Facebook followers of The Ron Kelly Show. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. And shouts out to Janice Scott Taylor, who couldn't be here today. She's actually in Jersey City with her mom. Her mom is ill. So shout out to Janice and your mom. You know, Godspeed that she gets better very, very soon. All right, I guess, Mala, you heard that the police officer who killed Jonathan Ferrell will not, I repeat, will not be indicted by the grand jury. Now, grand jury, for those of you who don't know, grand jury is just a bunch of people. You know, people they pull off the street. You know, they're not, I don't know, whatever their political affiliation is or whether they've had police officers in their family. I don't know if anybody knows. I don't even know if anyone's allowed to ask them those questions, because it's not like another trial, a regular jury trial where the lawyers are able to do what they call voir dire. Voir dire is the process that's Latin, by the way, and the process that they use to is that Latin? It might be. they use a lot of Latin in lawyer terms. That's the process they use to, I guess, the prosecution and the defense use to weed out potential biased jurors. So they're not even able to do that. I don't know if anyone is able to do that. But, yes, yeah, so Jonathan Ferrell, young man who was looking for some help on the night of, in September, actually, of last year. Jonathan Ferrell was knocking on doors. And see, you know, you can't knock on, you can't be a black person or Hispanic, person of color, I should say, and knock on certain doors. Can't, because when you knock on that person's door, they're going to automatically think that you're there to cause them some harm, you know, especially white folks. I mean, let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100. Now, the lady was white, and she says that she thought that she was going to be harmed, and she had her baby in the house. So this couldn't be just somebody looking for somebody who's lost or someone who is maybe even, you know, yeah, somebody who's lost. You know, it couldn't be someone of moral turpitude, somebody who's not threatening. So this woman, when she looked out her door, she said, "Oh, my God, there's a black man." And she automatically thought that she was in trouble. So she called the police. I'm giving you a little background on the story. The woman calls the police and says, "Oh, there's a threatening black man in front of my door." Because when she, let me rewind just a minute. When she, at first, she started looking for her gun. So if he didn't shoot her, she would have. So suffice it to say, the woman calls the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department, and they send over a car with two officers, one of the officers being this cop, Randall Carrick, white man, white officer. And what happened was, well, you know, we haven't seen, at least I haven't seen the video, the dash cam video. And I don't know if anyone's being allowed to see the dash cam video, which is probably telling of what happened. So, incidentally, in case you were wondering if he might have been drunk, no, Jonathan Ferrell's, he had been drinking, but his alcohol level was below the legal limit. So, but regardless of that, he should not have been shot down. So what happened was, this officer Randall Carrick and another officer showed up, and they say that Jonathan Ferrell came at them, and they shot a taser at him, and he kept coming at them. See, now we don't know that because we haven't seen the dash cam video, you know. So we don't know what happened. But we do know that this officer, Randall Carrick, eventually fired 12 shots, 10 of them. Actually, he fired at him 12 times. He hit him 10 times. Jonathan Farrell had no criminal record and was a Florida A&M football player. So a possible NFL career destroyed by Randall Carrick. So fast forward to just the other day, 3 days ago, the grand jury has declined to indict a Charlotte Mecklenburg police officer on a voluntary manslaughter charge in the shooting death of a former Florida A&M football player. Randall Carrick was charged in the September death of 24-year-old Jonathan Farrell, who was unarmed. The state attorney general's office presented evidence to a grand jury Tuesday, but the grand jury decided not to indict the officer on voluntary manslaughter. But get this now. The jury asked the prosecutor to submit lesser charges. So what's lesser than voluntary manslaughter? Reckless manslaughter, which is probably more. So what's less than voluntary manslaughter? Reckless endangerment would probably be a lesser term. Reckless endangerment would be a lesser charge. So the grand jury didn't find enough evidence to indict on voluntary manslaughter, but they're asking the prosecutor to submit to a lesser charge. Reckless endangerment, criminally negligent homicide, or something like that, would be a lesser charge. So this is what has happened. And in a lot of ways was expected. And black folks, you know, it was expected. Really, let me say that first. It was expected that Randall Carrick would not be indicted, because many police officers kill African Americans and don't get indicted. Don't get indicted. Now, I'm not a cop hater. Shout out to former Captain Joe DeFranco, Passaic County Sheriff's Department, Commander William McCrary, Sheriff Richard Burdnick, and all the other police officers that I know, the good eggs, Sergeant Sharon Easton, Patterson Police Department, the good eggs, the good people. So I'm not a cop hater. I'm a police supporter, actually. What would we do if they weren't around, period? But I do have a problem with police officers like this Randall Carrick, who commit murder virtually and gets away with it. Now, the chief of the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department goes by the name of Rodney Monroe. Had Randall Carrick arrested and charged in the beginning when this first happened. Now, Farrell's family, of course, I don't want to say of course, but has filed a lawsuit against Carrick, Randall Carrick, and Police Chief Rodney Monroe last week. And now the lawsuit says that Carrick used excessive force, and the family said the city of Charlotte and the police department failed to ensure its officers are adequately trained and instructed in the use of force. The city, of course, has declined to comment on the lawsuit. Now, the good thing about these lawsuits, good for the suer, bad for the suee, good for the plaintiff, bad for the defendant, is that you don't have to, you don't have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the person did what they did, because we already know they did what they did. So it's not like a criminal trial where you have to, you know, bring out all the evidence and convince the jury. Even though Randall Carrick is not being charged, the Farrell family can still win this easily, and as they should, because you have to shoot at him. I mean, how big was Jonathan Farrell that this man felt like he had to shoot him 10 times? hitting him 10 times. I've shot him 12 times, hitting him 10 times. It's just ridiculous. So here we have another story here about another young black man being murdered by a police officer. And yes, black men probably are killed by other black men more than anyone else. Granted. That's another problem, and that's for another show. But for right now, we're talking about Officer Randall Carrick, who killed Jonathan Farrell without any reason that I can see. So we have another case. Actually, there was another case after this of a young lady who was killed by actually she was killed by the person she knocked on the door. I have to pull the information up. She was killed by the person whose door she knocked on. Same situation. Got into an accident, knocked on a door, and she was shot. Now, she was shot through a screen door. I mean, these people. I guess if you buy a gun, you may want to shoot somebody to see what it seems like. I mean, I don't advocate that. I think that's wrong. But I'm just thinking of these people that just want to get the feeling of shooting somebody. I mean, really, I want to shoot somebody. The next black person that comes to my door, I'm going to blow their brains out. So what happened to this young lady was she had an accident, and the same thing happened to her. She had an accident, and it wasn't a police officer that killed her. The homeowner killed her. So we didn't see what happens with that. But see, this ain't just some Florida stuff. This is happening all over the country. This ain't just Florida. And I'm going to tell you about another story. After the break, I'm going to tell you about another young man who was killed by a vigilante a la Zimmerman. Allegedly saw a person going through the backyard and killed him. So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes after the break. But, we have to see, black folks are lazy. We're not doing anything. These things keep happening over and over and over again, and what do? Nothing. Get on Facebook, get on some other social network, Twitter, express your outrage, which nobody gives a rat's behind about, and then don't do nothing. Go back to the mall, looking at the ghetto nonsense on TV, Braxton Family Values, loving hip-hop or some other nonsense, while our people are getting killed out in the street. Shouts out to Danette Chavis. You can check her out on Facebook. She's sponsored a petition drive to get signatures to stop the violence. And she's only got 5,000 signatures. Ridiculous. Embarrassing. Just plain trifling. 5,000 signatures. Out of all the African Americans in this country, all the folks that are on Facebook who have seen this woman, and I got to admit, I thought she was a little out there in the beginning. I'm like, whoa, she's angry. But she has a right to be angry. She has a right to be angry. I'd be angry, too, if I'm running a petition drive to stop the killing of African Americans, not just by other people, but by us as well. And she got 5,000 votes. I got almost 5,000 likes on my Facebook page, and I'm not advocating for anything. It's ridiculous. So, for those of you out there who wish to sign a petition, you can go on and check out Danette on Facebook. Danette Chavis, D-A-N Chavis, Chavis, C-H-A-V-I-S. You can check her out on Facebook. And she's sponsoring a petition drive. Now, to stop the police, actually to stop police brutality. She has a petition drive. This Randall Carrick is another example of police brutality. And, you know, we find them all across the country, day in and day out. But what do we do? Oh, nothing. Put the pictures of your heels on Facebook, or the plate that you just ate, which nobody gives a damn about, or some other nonsense. You know, Facebook and Twitter and these things weren't meant to be used the way they're being used. You know, so we need to take advantage of this. Danette should have 1 million signatures on that petition. I know there's 1 million black folks who have been affected or put upon by some bad egg police officers, bad apples. So check out Danette on Facebook, Danette Chavis, National Petition. I have to get myself together here because I just came in and just sat right down to the screen. But, she's sponsoring a petition to stop police brutality. So definitely check her out on Facebook. We'll be right back in just a minute with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
There was a need in talk radio, and one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is Marching Hand Society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Ron Kelly Show right here on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Shout out to Janice, Scott Taylor, our mothers in hospital. Janice, our prayers are with you and your family at this, I'm sure, very difficult time. You know, the gunman accused of chasing and killing a 21-year-old man at an Orlando apartment complex Thursday told police he was pursuing a suspected burglar. Suspected burglar. So was he carrying a bag? Did he have a VCR under his arm? Well, not a VCR. I date myself. But Okay, let me get back to the story. And acted in self-defense after he was attacked. Now, you're chasing somebody. Three things are going to happen. I mean, if I'm going down the street and you come chasing behind me, what do you think I'm going to do? You think I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to swing on you. That gives you the right to shoot me. Okay, the police account of the shooter's self-defense claim obtained by the Orlando Sentinel, you know, another Florida case, suggests that this could be the latest homicide in which the state's controversial stand-your-ground law becomes a factor. Now, police were called to the shooting just before noon Thursday at the Fountains at Metro West Apartments. They arrived to find 21-year-old Ricardo Sainz dead in the grass surrounded by six 45. I mean, you had a 45. Six 45 caliber shell casings. The alleged shooter, 32-year-old Claudia Smith, was caught later Thursday. Smith told detectives that he had shot someone in self-defense, according to a police report, found later Thursday. Now, he killed the person and left. Now, if you thought you were justified, why'd you leave? Smith said he was inside his house on Carter Street when his girlfriend, looking at an outdoor surveillance monitor, spotted someone in dark clothing walking around his yard, who was last seen climbing over the fence into the apartment complex. Now, Smith told police he had been having a recent problem with burglars at his house, and he was certain the unknown male was responsible. How could you? Oh, God, give me strength. A police account states he began chasing the unknown male. According to police, Smith admitted jumping the fence into the apartment complex armed with a 45 caliber handgun, where he said he saw Sainz looking into windows of apartments as he walked past them. Smith admitted pulling his gun and confronting Sainz, and when Sainz tried to walk away, Smith said he grabbed Sainz's hooded sweatshirt and tried to force Sainz back into his house so the police could be called. Now, why? I mean, there's so many questions. There's so many. This is so ridiculous. There's so many questions here that I'm just, you know, just reading them as I go along. Smith told police Sainz punched him in the mouth and grabbed for his gun. I mean, what else was he supposed to do? You're coming up on me. You know, I mean, it's instinctive to, if you walk past a window, to look. I mean, it's not that you actually are looking in through the window or in the window. I mean, it's instinctive to look. So was he glaring into the window? Did he just glance as he walked past? Because I do that. I mean, I don't, you know, you don't stand there and look in the window, but you know, it's instinctive. If you're walking down a street, for example, where there's windows, occasionally you're going to just glance over. It's instinctive. It's just like blinking your eyes. If, you know, or reacting to something, if somebody throws something at you. It's instinctive. It's reactive. And that's something that everybody does. Now, Smith's immediate response, he says, was to pull the trigger and fire shots at Sainz. Now, a report states, Smith said he feared Sainz was armed because his pants were falling down and his hands were in his hoodie pockets. A preliminary examination of Sainz's body revealed gunshots to his upper back and the back of his neck. Now, oh, this is like a comedy script from, you know, this is like a comedy skit from Saturday Night Live if it wasn't so tragic. Authorities found a 40 caliber handgun concealed in the crotch area of Sainz's pants. Now, he did have a gun, okay. But he had just as much right to have his gun, I guess, as this fool did. Now, when police told Smith that Sainz appeared to only have wounds to his back, Smith reportedly claimed those must have been exit wounds. He admitted he didn't know Sainz had a gun before police told him. Now, Smith's sister told police that when she saw her brother after the shooting, he was crying and vomiting and told her he had shot and possibly killed somebody trying to break into his house. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. Lying bastard. No, he wasn't. The case may have some parallels to Central Florida's most notorious recent homicide, the fatal Sanford shooting of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin by neighborhood watch volunteer George Idiot Fool Zimmerman. Zimmerman, who said Martin attacked and beat him before the fatal shot, was acquitted on a self-defense argument at trial. Similarities range from attire, both Martin and Sains wore hoodies, to the basis the shooters claimed for taking action concerned over recent burglaries. Both gunmen said they were attacked before firing. However, legal analysts say there are key differences between the two cases. Martin was shot in his chest, while arrest paperwork states Sane was wounded from behind. And Smith, unlike Zimmerman, reportedly admitted to physically restraining the person he suspected at gunpoint. Now, if he didn't have probable cause to detain the guy or make a citizen's arrest, then everything he did was illegal and he has no stand your ground defense, said Orlando defense lawyer Richard Hornsby. Now, a legal commentator for the local station down there says that the cases are fairly similar, but very significantly enough that Smith likely would have an uphill battle convincing the jury that it was self-defense. Yeah, you think? However, he said he wouldn't rule out a stand-your-ground claim. It's available. It's worked. And lawyers and defendants are always testing the elasticity of stand-your-ground and of self-defense. So this is so ridiculous. I mean, and what do we do? What do we do? Nothing. Talk about it on Facebook. Oh, I'm so mad. Oh, I'm tired of this. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because you're not doing anything. You can't be that tired of it. Did you sign a petition with Danette? Even though it wasn't actually police brutality, but did you sign a petition? Did you do anything? Did you go out? Did you do something? Did you get off your behind and go out and do something? No. And see, we wonder why these things keep happening. You know, it shouldn't be a puzzle here, folks. Black folks in particular. It shouldn't be a puzzle because it just gets to me. Now, we go on Facebook and you think you did something because you went on Facebook or Twitter or one of the other nonsensical social networks, and you think you actually did something because you complained. You shared the story on your Facebook page. So what? So what? You didn't do anything. You shared a story on the Facebook page. Big deal. See, this stuff's going to keep happening, people. This stuff is going to keep happening. Our people are going to continue to get disrespected, to get gunned down on the streets by idiots like this Claudia Smith. And they're going to keep getting away with it. See, I don't know if the pot is boiling. I don't know if there's any fire under it. But, you know, there are organizations out there, just like the militias and the white folks have their racist organizations, you have the New Black Panther Party and other people out there. I'm not saying they're going to do anything, but, you know, the pot eventually is going to start boiling. Eventually. Because we can't just keep allowing our people, and I'm not advocating there should be any violence. I don't advocate violence at all. I think that diplomacy, I'm like a President Obama, diplomacy, talk about it. But talk is going to get cheap after a while. But this is a total, shot in the back. Shot in the back and in the neck. So he must have grabbed him and shot him. Now, was he trying to break into your house? No. Do you know if he was the person that broke into your house? No. Did anybody break in your house? You saw a black person with a hood, and you automatically thought that this person was a criminal. Now, I don't, and I've always had aspirations of moving to Florida, but I don't know. I don't know now. I don't know. I might go down there and somebody might kill me. Now, I don't have a criminal record either. So I've definitely changed my mind about Florida, to tell you the truth, because a lot of people who know me, people who are in my circle, they know I've always wanted to move to Florida. But right now, I don't know. I don't know. I may not survive. I might be better off somewhere else. Because this is ridiculous. And the worst part of it all is that black folks are not doing anything. That's the worst part. Just talking. It's getting to the point now where apathy has grown. I mean, it's getting to the point now where it's just a mention. Oh, here's a news story from WLTV-TV in Florida. Black man chased down and killed. News at 11. Now, and nobody is saying anything, especially black folks. We ain't saying nothing. We're not saying anything. And this is ridiculous. This is the worst part of the whole thing. You know, we condolences to the Saints family. You know, that brother should still be alive right now, only 21 years old, murdered by a white man who suspected him of being a thief. So much going on. Stop and frisk. Oh, yeah, well, most of the crime happens in the black community, so who do you think we're going to stop and frisk? White people? And I'm not a anti-white, you know, I'm not like that. I don't have a problem with white folks. But these people are so paranoid, and white folks have gotten so paranoid of black people, i.e. the young man who was shot in the back of the car, the young lady who was shot in the face looking for help, Jonathan Ferrell killed. I mean, you can go on and on. Malik Williams, Ron-Terry Griffin, you know, it goes on and on, on and on. Black folks who have been killed by either white folks or by the police. And it goes on and on and on. But what are we going to do about it, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not saying go out and start burning buildings. You know, because we burn our own buildings. What kind of sense does that make? I'm not saying that, but we need action. We need action. We need to get out there en masse. Not these little puny little so-called little rallies we be having where there's like 150 people, 100 people. And we think we actually did something because there's 100 people who was there. That's nothing. This should have been 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 10,000. It should have been enough to stop traffic, like everybody else who parades or protests about something in this country. They come out in droves, but not the black folks. Oh, no. I'm too busy. I'm watching the Hollywood House Negroes of Beverly Hills or some other nonsense. Too busy. I got something to do. I'm too busy. You know, I guess y'all can tell I had a bad day because I'm like ranting like that, right? But when my day ends with, more often than not, my day ends with the radio show, and I'm really grateful for the show and for you all out there who listen to the Ron Kelly Show and Lamont and I on Real Talk on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. So we got to get up. Get up, everybody. Get up. Go do something. Get up. This thing is serious now. It's not just about the hood and people getting killed in the hood. That man was minding his own business. And many of the other folks who were gunned down were minding their own business too. You know, I'm an African-American young man. I don't wear hoodies that often, but it seems you don't have to. So get up. Stand up. Let's get moving. Do something. Organize. We need to make a change here. We need to start now. And we'll see you guys back here next Friday. Hopefully I'll be on time for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, I'd like to say that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. and that we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much. We are gone.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you